This is Brigitte Mouchet with the Solari Wellness Series. I'm very happy to be interviewing today Joanne Tennant, who is a foot reflexologist in Aptos, California. I've known Joanne for many years. I actually took a foot reflexology training with her because I love foot reflexology and the way she works. I used to travel a lot and I would always go to get a foot massage everywhere I went. And I can say that for me, Joanne is the best foot reflexology in the world. So why are we talking about foot reflexology today? Because I think it's a great resource to have when, you know, healthcare is not what it used to be. It is a great way to increase self-reliance and take better care of ourselves. Today, we are going to talk about and also demonstrate some easy self-help, let's say, tricks from foot reflexology you can use for some common problems. Joanne has been practicing foot reflexology for, I think, more than 30 years. When she touches somebody's feet, she can read so much about past and present conditions, even before people are aware of anything. Joanne became a foot reflexologist because it helped her fully recover from a serious back injury in 1984. So Joanne, welcome to the Solari Wellness Series.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you. So, yeah. So first, I'd like you to talk a little more about maybe how you became such a great foot reflexologist, because, you know, I studied it myself and I know it's not that easy. So you've had an unusual journey and you're obviously very gifted. So have you always had a special gift, or did it come with a lot of practice and determination?
I definitely started reflexology when I was young, not knowing that it was reflexology. My grandfather was diabetic and I started massaging his feet. He had very swollen feet, couldn't wear shoes. And I started massaging his feet when I was very young. And when I was around 10, 11 years old, I read my first book about reflexology called Zone Therapy. And then I started practicing it more like reflexology as opposed to a foot massage.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And then later in life, I injured my back, which led me to a wonderful reflexologist from Aptos, California, Ulla Meyerhoff. And I had drop foot problems. When I walked with a cane, and my foot would not lift up. I would trip over it when I walked. And she brought the feeling back in my calf and brought my foot back, and by doing reflexology. And after that, I wanted to learn how to do it so I could work on my family and friends. And then I ended up starting a practice and getting certified in it.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I'm glad you did that.
Me too.
Yeah. And so could you just to complete our introduction, could you explain briefly how reflexology works? So we don't need to go into details, but just give a high level introduction.
The science of reflexology basically is like your handprints and your footprints are your own unique identification. It's also your own unique identification of a map of your body, that every pressure point in the hands and feet represent different parts of the body. So like when we're babies and we're teething and the babies are chewing their fingers, they're actually working on the pressure points for the teeth. Mm. So when I teach reflexology, I tell everyone, you started out as a reflexologist, I'm going to bring you back to it. Mm-hmm. And so they massage the gums while they're chewing on the teeth, but it's pretty much 100% the hand that they like the most, the teeth will come up first. Mm-hmm. So working with the electrical currents in the body also called meridians. It's pretty basic. It's like when someone has a heart attack and they put the panels on and they bring their life force back. It's that electrical current in the body that the meridians is where the electrical currents travel through. And they end up 5 meridians on your left side and 5 on your right side, which lines up with the hands and the feet. And basically every pressure point on your hands affects different parts of your bodies. Like we'll be learning today how to work on the sinuses, and while people are massaging the pressure point for the sinuses, their sinuses start to drain. Every continent of the earth has ancient reflexology charts that date back to the beginning of recording time. So there's ancient physician tombs, pyramids with illustrations on the walls of people doing foot and hand reflexology. So I'd say the countries that the families stay together seem to hold on to the reflexology more because it got passed down probably with different family members. Yeah. Here in the United States, there were people, Joseph Riley started, he was an ears, nose, throat specialist. And he started noticing that when people would grip the sides of the chair, the hand they were gripping, they wouldn't need as much pain anesthesia, and they wouldn't have as much pain on the one side that they were gripping. So he met up with Fitzgerald in Germany, and they started mapping, creating the maps with, they drew a foot and then made a grid system with it. And then went to detail to detail to detail on what is represented in what area. Yeah. And Ernest Ingham kept it alive in the United States, but the practice that they have is more like a foot massage. I studied European reflexology, and it's more like acupressure. Mm-hmm. And basically, I develop my hands where I can see and hear the vibrations with my hands, but I didn't lose my eyesight and my hearing. They just got really tuned in.
Yeah.
And I've worked on so many thousands of people. I know what the average pressure point for something feels like.
Yeah.
And I approach both feet during the session, and most foot reflexologists only do one foot at a time.
Yeah.
And so what I started doing was comparing one side to the other. Like if someone had a shoulder problem, I would work on the pressure point for the shoulder, but I wanted to see the other side for the shoulder that was happy, what that felt like.
Yeah.
And so that's how I started being able to really map things out. And then I started, discovering pressure points and putting them on the map. There's a lot that aren't even on my charts that I've discovered.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Always learning.
Yeah. And we can say that hand and foot reflexology can be used for self-help, that it really works. And so can you give some I think you already gave a few examples, but what would be some really common things that people can do on themselves to help with some of the issues? Anything or
lots of reasons. They come to me for a twitch in the eye that won't go away, to infertility, to cancer, to any autoimmune injuries, lots and lots of reasons people come to me.
Okay.
A lot of times, last hope.
Yeah.
And the doctors figure out, and they've heard about me, and pretty much I get people from all around the world. People have flown me places to work on them or help them get out of the hospital. But it's my passion to teach people how to help themselves, because you're with yourself all the time.
Yeah.
And so throughout my 25 years of my practice, I have always shown people how to work on themselves. Yeah. It's kind of like, we all know how to put light bulbs in, right? Mm-hmm. But when the electrical outlet, something's wrong, we call the specialist, we call the electrician. Yeah. And so that's what it's like, you know, when people, yeah. they can self-help, but when they have some serious problems and want to know if they're doing it correctly, yeah. people consult.
Yeah. And so if you want to describe your method and how it is different from Chinese foot reflexology or, you know, the rubbing method that yeah. is very pleasant, but I don't know if it's as efficient. Do you want to describe a little bit what's specific about
your... So I studied the European reflexology, and then I ended up developing my own technique off of the European style. And the European is very, very detailed, very seriously detailed. It's not referred pressure points, they're direct pressure points. And so the American style of reflexology, the pressure point for the heart is always represented by the spleen or the left lung. But the way that I was taught reflexology is that this is your body cut straight down the middle. And that's represented on this hand. This half is represented with this hand or this foot. And then this hand or this foot is represents the other half. So if that's my body cut straight down the middle, the heart would be on the pressure point on both feet or both hands. And the American Association years ago, when I went to give a lecture about my technique of reflexology, I asked why they do that, and they said that they didn't want people referring to reflexology if they were having a heart attack. So they put the pressure point in a referred place as opposed to direct. Oh. So I use direct pressure points. And then, like I said, I do both feet at the same time. So I start the session with a spine because it's the tap root to everything else. And by addressing both feet at the same time, I could feel when a disc was protruded or herniated. And I was able to, by applying pressure on the side that's herniated and stimulating to encourage the energy to go on the other side where the disc needs to go, I would pump it. And that's where I became different, was yes. I started both hands at the same time, so I can actually adjust the spine that way. Then I started using it the way that our systems flush. So I work on the pressure point for the eyes. I start up here and I go this direction towards the tear duct because that's where it flushes. I work on the sinus caverns from the ears towards the nose, down the throat where it flushes.
Yeah. So on the hands and the feet, not on you don't work on the face, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so mainly I started working just on the feet, but then I started realizing that I could, correlate if someone had a foot injury, it might tell me something that wasn't really there by the old injury. So I would go to the pressure point on the hands to see if it was there also. And usually if it's there on the hands and the feet, then it's definitely something represented in the anatomy. Mm-hmm. And so I go through in a 1 hour session, I go through your whole entire anatomy with every session. You might come to me for a knee problem, but I'm gonna balance your hormones. I'm gonna work on your spine. I'm going to do the respiratory, the heart, the digestive system. Mm-hmm. So that makes my reflexology technique a little more potent because I'm addressing the whole anatomy yeah. instead of just the ear. When someone comes to me for an ear problem, I yeah. do, because there could be a tooth problem that's causing the ear problem, that's causing the sinus problems. So it's the domino effect.
Yeah.
And so I start with the spine, then I do the whole anatomy in the head. All the different things going on in there. And then I do the endocrine system because of the governing hormone glands in our brain. And then I bring it down the way our endocrine system runs to the reproductive organs. And then I do, like for the reproductive, I'll do the ovaries, fallopian tubes, and the uterus. So it's a flushing process, which would make it a detoxing process on the whole anatomy. Yeah. And so with, it is effective when I show someone, oh, do you want me to, you know, they have kidney stones. Do you want me to show you the pressure point for the kidney? And you know, you work on this pressure point until you feel a little pulse come up. When the pulse comes up, the reaction pulse, then it's time to let go so you don't overstimulate the pressure point or understimulate. My teacher developed the reaction pulse. And so it's not a heartbeat, because if someone comes to me with an injured big toe, when I touch the pressure point for the big toe, it's going to be going bump, 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 because it's really irritated. And sometimes things go very dormant and you have to bring up the energy or you bring it down of the electrical current or energy, whatever you want to call it. It's the same.
So you do work with energy. So it's considered energy work, right?
Yes. And it's, but it's more
physical.
Yeah. Map, and it's direct. So I can actually tell the shapes of organs, if there's an old injury, if there's a cyst, if there's a mole that needs to be checked. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Anyone can learn this. It just takes a lot of practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a practice, therefore my tools are very sharp. I'm always learning.
Yeah. So talking about, shall we do some demos? Is it?
Sure.
And then
sure. So I would like
talk about precautions first, right?
You want to talk about, I want to talk about precautions.
And then your tools, you can bring your tools into
here as well. And I want to show people some tools that I use for self-help and just show people how to help themselves with it.
Yeah.
So the precautions are, if you're pregnant, you don't want to work on the reproductive organs, the ovaries, fallopian tube, or the uterus. You avoid those areas. I've actually helped induce labor. So I've actually helped.
And it's okay, right? At the end?
Yes.
At that time, go, right?
Time for delivery. Yeah. So I've helped with contractions starting and dilating. And so it's very, very effective and useful for everything. So when you're pregnant is a precautions. And when you have a high fever, the reflexology can actually make the fever go higher. So big precautions with that. If you have foreign objects in the body that need to stay there, you need to be aware of where those would be represented on the chart. So when you get to that area, you have to work much lighter, no vigorous rubbing. I have moved an IUD out of a woman before I realized that I was flushing stuff out of people. The first 3 years of my practice, people would come and say, you know, the tube in my ear came out after you worked on me. So I started realizing, because I developed this technique and it's all about flushing everything, that I was actually moving objects out of people. So you have, that's, it's very, very real. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very cautious. When, you know, stents, clamps, nuts, bolts, plates, all those type of things. Also, when people have been in the hospital and they've just had surgery, I let the body calm down before I go in and work on them, because their body needs to just calm way, way down before I go stimulating anything for helping them. So those are definite precautions too, but getting a good map on the reflexology and and knowing where things are represented. Like, for instance, if I had a heart condition and I had a little clamp on something in my heart, let's say it's on my right side. So this represents the area that represents the heart. So I would just have to, you can actually feel the foreign objects on the pressure points, very, very tiny version. I can tell the shapes of pacemakers in people. I can, you know, I can feel the shapes of things. So it's just a little miniature version of what I'm feeling on the pressure points. Mm-hmm. So just being aware of that makes it really helpful.
Yeah.
And just to be very cautious.
Yeah.
And then so the respiratory issues that we're having in the world today, yeah, I want to share on what I do for self-help with reflexology for respiratory.
Yeah.
So let's say I'm getting a cold. I'm feeling stuff in my sinuses. So I'll work on the pressure points of the sinuses, starting at the outer part of the sinuses. So I move them towards the nose so I can flush. So this whole tip of my pinky finger represents the sinus cavern closer to my ear, all the way to the joint. Now in front, right here, the bone structure of this joint right here represents the actual bone structure of the sinus cavern. So some people need to get that honed out by the doctors, and working on these joints actually helps break up the scar tissue and alleviates the problem. So starting at the tip of the finger, massaging it pretty firmly down towards the first joint is like flushing my sinus in this area downward. Then I go to the next finger, start at the top and go downward. This whole pad area, you want to use that whole pad area down fleshy, to the joint.
The fleshy part.
And as I'm doing it, I'm holding the joint on this side with my thumb. So I'll go like this. I'll massage it vigorously downward. I start on the pinky. And if it's really hard, then it tells me that, or really squishy, if it's really squishy, then I know you have like a chronic sinus thing. If it's really hard, then it's clogged. So you're massaging it down to that joint, but I'm also applying pressure on this knuckle right there. So I'm working them both at the same time, going downward, then the ring finger, doing the same thing downward. The middle finger is actually the highest point of the cheekbone right here in this area. So it's represented right here. So these are all the sinuses. The nostril is where my thumb is. So those are your sinuses caverns on this side, sinus caverns on this side. So going down, down, down. And then on the thumb is represented where the nose, the nostril is. Right here is the nostril. And you go underneath the thumbnail across, you start here. This is where the nostril is. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Right here. And you go across under the thumbnail to the inside webbing of the thumb. And this is the sinus cavern, way back deep inside the sinuses when people have a chronic sinus drip that drips down their throat. This is the area to work on. Then you go down underneath this, and this represents the tonsils right here. Then you go down. This is the throat, half of my throat, and right here represents the voice box. So I go across. I do an inchworm, like I'm scooting across, like trying to squeeze all the toothpaste out of the tube, and down to the voice box. If it's tender, if any of the pressure points are tender, it could tell you that something's going on in that area. If you feel like little bumps in the throat area, it's viral. So then you feel the little bumps, you know you're dealing with viral stuff. So you would do herbs or whatever you do to help yourself with that. Then doing the other hand. So when I'm doing foot reflexology or hand reflexology in my practice, I do both at the same time. So it saves time because I'm doing a lot of pressure points in 1 hour. And then once again, go underneath the thumbnail all the way across to where the sinus drip in the back of the throat, and then to the tonsil and down the throat to the voice box. Yeah. So that helps with the sinuses. Then you do the old fashioned thing and you get some eucalyptus essential oil and some lemon essential oil and put it in some sort of carrier oil like olive oil, or I use coconut oil. And then you put that on the tips of your toes before you go to bed. And you put it on the pad of your foot right here. This area right here, this represents the lungs in reflexology. Mm. So you put the essential oils on your toes and on the front part where the nostril is, down the throat. You can do even, this represents the chest. And on the other side of the chest, of the sole of the foot, is the lungs. So the whole top part of the foot, right up here, just put with a lot of eucalyptus and lemon, and then go to bed and get some rest.
Yeah.
And that will help. We're going to go to the palms of the hands where the lungs are. But first, on the front part where the V is right here, represents the bronchial. So we want to open up the bronchial to make room to flush stuff out of the lungs. So starting low, where the two bones connect here and here, is the lowest part in the bronchial. So you start low and you milk all the way up to that webbing. Now, when someone's having bronchial problems, that's going to be very tender. Asthma, it'll be rock hard. When someone's having an asthma attack, you start low and you pinch all the way up to the webbing. And when it'll be really super hard when someone's having an asthma attack, I do both hands at the same time. You go in like this and go down to go towards the webbing. And when it's really hard is when everything's constricted. And then it starts to soften, they start to breathe better. Instantly, you can relieve asthma this way.
Yeah, down, I remember that one. And on the foot. It's here,
yeah, right? Yeah, and on the front of the foot, the front right here, like right in here, bronchial.
Uh-huh.
And then these are the lungs. So I clear the bronchial, then I go to the pressure point that represents the lungs.
So question. So the bronchial is just in between these two fingers, right here in the webbing. But not here, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is the bronchial right here. And if you feel little hard bumps on the sides, that could be bacteria in the little bronchial nodules.
Uh-huh.
Like where the tubes, a lot of people get problems there. And if people have had COVID down in that area, you will feel the bumps will be hard and they will hurt. Work on those, massage them vigorously and get rid of that so that gets out of your system completely.
Uh-huh.
So then you go to the pad of the foot or the palm of the hand. So this whole pad right here represents my lung. And this area right here is the back of the scapula, which is the lower part of the lung, further away on this side. So I want to bring that up and out towards the bronchial, moving it always towards the bronchial.
Let's say
I'm tired, my thumbs are hurting, I'm having a hard time with this. So then I get a tool. Here's a handy dandy little tool. It's a wheel. You can roll it back and forth to break that up, or you can use a wine cork. Wonderful wine cork, barefoot wine. I take it like this, both hands, and you roll them together so that both hands are getting it at the same time, the lungs. Better yet, when you're doing dishes and just sitting around, walking around the house, you get the reflexology shoes out. You walk around with this. This represents the sinuses, the eyes, the lungs, the heart, pancreas, digestive system. You get a lot all by wearing the reflexology shoes. Very, very helpful. Now, these reflexology shoes are from China. They have the little bumps on the other side. So I have figured out that the reason why they're on this side is so that you can step on the top of your foot and do the other pressure points with your other foot. Very, very good. These are hard to find. These are the latest reflexology shoes that I got that I love. They are brutal. They hurt. You really have to start very slow in the beginning, but they actually move when you press in, when you're walking. So it's massaging the, and once again, the precautions. If you have any foreign objects that the doctors have put inside of you, you need to know that these might not be such a good idea if you have stimulating it too much. So just wearing them in standing would be okay, but not walking around if you don't want to unlodge anything that needs to stay. So those are two things that I really wanted to share with you that are very, very important with the lungs, the pressure point for the lungs. And on the feet, same thing. You work on the outer part by the pinky toe, moving it up towards the bronchial, up and out, up and out. That's always the intention, up and out, up and out. And then you have the bronchial here, low in the bronchial, and you massage it upward towards the webbing. Same that you have with the hand.
Yeah.
Upward towards the webbing.
Yeah. Yeah. The directions are very important, right? Yeah.
Very important. That's what makes my reflexology technique different than the average, is the directions.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that was the respiratory system, right?
Yes.
That can be used for people with, so we said asthma, but allergies, viruses. Yeah, sinus problems.
Any type of lung problem. Yeah. I would consult a doctor first. You know, a lot of doctors know about reflexology and some of them don't, but a lot of doctors that have mutual clients with me know about reflexology.
Yeah.
Because of the effects.
Yeah. So what shall we do next? I know you have a lot of information.
Well, we're talking about the head still.
Oh, okay.
So I could show the pressure point for the ear, the ring finger right here. This whole pad represents the ear drum. The outer part closer to the pinky finger, this part of it is the ear drum that sticks out. Like when people have ruptured or have scar tissue problems with hearing, I find a lot of scar tissues on the pressure point that's representing that. So by massaging that, that helps break up the scar tissue in the ear.
Yeah.
So if I was having an earache and my teeth were bothering me, I would want to drain it. So there's channels on the front, all down the front. I would take the ring off, and then I would start going all the way down these side channels. These are not even on my chart. You go down these channels and it will be very tender in this spot right here if there's an infection. Go down. So you can actually have stuff drain out of your ear also. The inner ear right here, very important. That when you work on the pressure point for the inner ear, you only hold it. You never wiggle it back and forth because it can give you vertigo. It can make you dizzy. So you go down the eustachian tube, which connects on this side and across to the eardrum. So like when I'm flying, my ears don't like flying. So this is the pressure points I'm actually working on while I'm in the airplane to keep me out of pain. The pressure points for the teeth are in between the knuckles. These are the wisdom teeth here. So I go back here where the glands secrete to the front. I like to move things the way that the fluids flow. So I start in the back. And so this is the molars, uppercase, lowercase, right where the knuckle is. Uppercase above the knuckle, lowercase below. And then the other molars go across, go across, go across, go across, all the knuckles. So when I'm getting dental work done, I'll sit in the dental chair like this. So I'm getting all the pressure points in my gums. And the dentist is amazed how fast my mouth heals because I'm doing this the whole time I'm in the dental chair. I'm actually working on the pressure points as he's working on the teeth. Yeah.
So for gum issues, that's probably something to do regularly, right?
Really good. And it will be very, very tender. If it's tender, spend more time. Just wiggling it back and forth, lowercase, and then you move to the uppercase. And then the front, the teeth are represented, the upper front tooth, the lower front tooth. So basically with the teeth, I can help with infections, but you have to go to the dentist.
Yes.
Yeah. The only thing you can do.
Yeah. Pull out a tooth? Nope.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's a good way. A lot of people say, oh, well, what about headaches? I get headaches. I get headaches. Mm-hmm. The pressure point here that they use for headaches, that's kind of a universal pressure point. It affects the vagus nerve. That's why that pressure point, people tell you to do it with headaches. But in reality, the head is represented up here. This represents half of my brain right here. So a lot of times people are actually dehydrated, and a way to tell if you're dehydrated is you press your thumb down, and if it stays indented and doesn't pop back up, mine could use a little hydration. See, let's drink some water. Cheers. So sometimes that's the cause of the headaches, mm-hmm. is dehydration. So if you're getting dull headaches, check to see if you're dehydrated. And it's basically electrolytes that you need, not just water. It's the sodium in the electrolytes that your electrons and neurons need to make that electrical connection. Very important. Most of us are dehydrated. There's lots of reasons why people have headaches. You can't specifically say one pressure point will make a difference.
Yeah.
But that's the first thing to check to see if you're dehydrated. Some people get headaches from the hormones, the endocrine system, our governing hormone glands, pituitary, and there are a lot in the brain. Approaching the hormonal system with reflexology, it's a little more detailed than I can show now.
Yeah, it's probably a little too complicated for.
Yeah, and so in the spiral of the thumb, the middle of the spiral represents the pressure point for the pituitary gland. So if you press in there and you feel half of a hard P shape, that's a good indication that it has to do with hormones, why you're having the headache. So that's something I can share. But if you feel anything off of that little half of a P shape, if you feel a little bump or anything off of that, I would not continue working on myself, and I would go to an experienced reflexologist. There can be like a cyst or a pimple on the pituitary gland, which if you pop it by working on the pressure point, could actually cause an aneurysm. Ooh. So that's another precaution with the pituitary gland. I just caution everyone with that pressure point, but that's, you can find it on any chart, but you really need to be careful when you're addressing it.
Yeah, so it's probably not a good idea to try to decalcify the pineal gland that way, right?
Exactly. And so that would be something you would just work the pressure point lightly until you feel the pulse, but not to press it firm or rub it vigorously.
Yeah.
So there's, when something is fragile, you just hold the pressure point very lightly until you feel that pulse.
Yeah. Okay.
So what else would you like to learn?
You know, you told me about the vagus nerve, that it was something new that you had learned, and also working in the hot tub with the jets.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Then the immune system, maybe. And then
I'll start with the immune system since you mentioned that last.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, there's different glands that I work with I once again, approaching the whole anatomy is helpful for the immune system. That's how I approach it. But if I was to show you just a few pressure points to help your immune system, it would be the pressure point for the spleen. The spleen is on the left hand, only on the left side. It's down in about the middle part of the internal part of the spleen is on the palm of the hand. So on this area right here is representing the spleen. This is the side of the spleen on the side of your body. And then this is actually the front part of the spleen. So I've learned a lot more since I've taught you that I'm doing things more three-dimensional now, as opposed to one-dimensional. So basically, working the pressure point for the spleen, I pinch it on both sides. So I have the thumb, the internal, and the external.
Yeah.
So stimulating it, if it's bumpy, if it's tender, it could indicate that there might be something going on with the immune system and your spleen is working hard and needs some assistance. So I vigorously, in a circular motion, pinch it and rub it. Like right now, I'm feeling a little bump on the front part of my spleen.
Me
too. So I'm just going to massage it. It could be lymphatic in that area. My body might be trying to keep something away right now. I feel fine, but it tells you when something is happening before your body's even reacting to it. So massaging it. And so what's starting to happen now is under this finger, under my index finger, where I'm feeling the congestion, it's starting to soften. And the hard bump that I was feeling is now getting flat and softening. And so I'll hold that pressure point until I feel the pulse, the reaction pulse under my finger. And then it's time to let go so I don't overstimulate it. So then I go to the thymus, which is on the front part, right underneath the voice box. On the side is the thymus, on the sides here and here. The thymus has to do with the immune system. So right here, I would hold this pressure point and pulsate it. Because we're working on a cellular level, so you're actually stimulating the cells in the body by pulsating the electrical current. And if there's any tenderness, you want to keep working on that pressure point till the tenderness gets less, and then the pressure point starts to soften. Then you wait for the reaction pulse. And then the other thymus. You want to be careful stimulating the thymus too much after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It actually might keep you awake. So I'm cautious with that later on in the day. I usually don't work after 3. So right there, and then you wait for the reaction pulse and then ta-da.
Yeah.
So that's... Those are some pressure points for the immune system.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Yeah,
and then
the return, the pulse is difficult to, it's still difficult for me.
Yeah, and it's not easy to find the reaction pulse on yourself.
Yeah.
It's something that has to be practiced.
Yeah.
And if you don't practice, you will not get it. You will lose it.
Yeah.
So practice on your friends, practice on your mates, your children, your parents, just practice on everyone. That's why I'm showing hand reflexology, is because it's so easy at a party or you know, somewhere out and about, is just to work on your hands. Like when I'm driving and my shoulder starts hurting, I'll like start working on the pressure point when I'm at the stop sign. So there's working on your hands is very accessible, very easy.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
So I would like to share the pressure points for anxiety, for stress. And there, of course, the adrenal gland is part of it. And the adrenal gland is in the palm of the hand. It represents the same area that
the kidney?
Kidney. It sits on top of the kidney. So all in this area. So if I was too anxious, I would want to sedate my adrenal gland, calm it down. So by holding it and moving it very slow, moving it very slowly towards the heel of the hand, then I let up, go back towards the heel of the hand, go back.
So you're rubbing a little bit?
I'm pulling it downward to calm it down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Very slow. So if I was real tired and needed to get my adrenal gland stimulated,
instead then of I would coffee, easily, instead of
vigorously,
coffee, right?
Yeah. And then, so let's say I'm too anxious. And so then what we would do is we would go to the vagus nerve. Can we cut for a second?
Sure.
Can we cut?
Yeah.
Because my light came off. I need a new battery for it.
Oh, you still lit up well.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
The battery doesn't last very long with this light. It takes a lot out. So for the vagus nerve goes from our brainstem, a little bit on the other side of this, around this area, it starts. And then it goes all the way down to our rectum. And the vagus nerve has to do with our fright, flight. And it's the nerve that makes all the action happen when we see and hear. And sometimes it gets stuck. And then it causes anxiety problems. So I have taught myself on the hands how to work on the vagus nerve. It's a little more difficult on the feet because we have all this space in our hands. It's just easier to get to on the hands. So I'm going to share that. And I actually will use my fingernails. I actually use the fingernails to get, and it's the pressure point is rounded. It's rounded like this. So it's easy to roll off of it. And you kind of, when you're on it, you kind of get on this rounded ligament tendon feeling on the hand, all the way from here, all the way down. And it rolls. So you want to try and stay on top of it like this, right? So that's why I use my fingernails. And so I'll do all four of my fingers. And it's mainly on the webbing side of the hand, the webbing side here. So I use all four of these fingers. This represents the lower jaw and my upper jaw in reflexology. So I'm going to start on the upper jaw part for the vagus nerve. And I'm going to hold it down here past the pressure point that represents the seventh cervical, because that's how long my fingers are. That's what I can do at once. So I'll hold it like this. And when it's closer to my voice box and the area that represents the seventh cervical vertebrae, like where my index finger, it's more tender. It's more tender in that area. So I know that things are going on starting in that area. So I hold the pressure point and you get the roundness of that band that represents the vagus nerve and kind of give it this rocking motion. Very gentle, very nurturing and caressing. And I hold the pressure point and I sit with it for a long time until I yawn or I do a heavy sigh. I do my breathing, starts breathing different. Then you've made the connection to the vagus nerve. And then what happens is the tight band starts to soften a little bit. Then I let go and I go to the other part of the vagus nerve, which this represents my trunk of my body, the torso. So this area all the way down to the 12th thoracic, which is right here at this bump. So I'll hold this area. And for me, that is the culprit with anxiety, is that in this part from here to here, my body holds it because I went through some trauma. And that's how we hold it. And the memory continues. And it caused serious problems in my life. And I had to fix it. And this is how I did it. Along with reishi mushroom herb. And so I do this. And you can really feel the roundness of it. But mine is feeling pretty hard right now. So I want it to soften. And I'll hold it. And it's just I'm overlapping a little bit. I want to go down a little further. And I'm really using the fingernails to stay on it. But the roundness of the ligament, tendon.
Also, you are really feeling a ligament there, right?
Yeah, the ligament of the thumb. And mine is protruded out, which means my vagus nerve has been on overdrive for too long.
Yeah, I'm feeling
mine too. And so I hold. And hold it, and then it starts to, I can feel a yawn coming, but I don't want to yawn in front of the camera. So that's when you know you've made the connection. And then the pulse will come up also, the reaction pulse. I do it on both hands. I go back up and start on the other hand, up by the upper jaw.
So the pinky is close. The pink.
I use my pinky finger.
Yeah.
You can see where the fingernails have jammed in. So I use my pinky.
Pinky.
And just it goes all the way to this, below this joint right here, which is, that's where I start to feel the tenderness right in this area, which is the other side is the thyroid, which has everything to do with emotions.
Yeah.
So I hold that until a reaction, a heavy sigh or a yawn, and then I go to the next. And you gotta stay right up on top of that and rocking motion. Very nurturing. And so that is the vagus nerve. And there was a calming time in my life.
Yeah, calming, calming effect, right?
Yeah, the calming effect, the reflexology, it got so bad with the anxiety that I wasn't aware of it, but it was causing my arms to go numb from my shoulders all the way down to my fingertips. And then it would wake up and then it would go to sleep and it would wake up, go to sleep. So I had the MRIs and they said, no, there's no nerve being pinched. And so the doctors sat me down and said, this is PTSD. And so to help myself with that, it was hard to work on my own hands because my arms are going numb, my hands are going numb. So I came up with the idea of using the jets on my hot tub and doing a full reflexology session. I let the water not get too hot. I get it maybe 100 degrees. So I don't, because I'm going to be in the water for a while. And the jets, I would work on the pressure point for the vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. And I would do the whole endocrine system all with the jets of my hot tub, all on the hands. Then I would do it on my feet. And along with that therapy, I started taking reishi mushroom, and it brought my feeling back in my arms, and I don't have problems with it anymore unless I get too stressed. Mm-hmm. And then I go back like, okay, back to the drawing board. So stress is a huge factor of our health that we all need to try and let it go. So what do we do to de-stress? You go to the park, you lean up against the tree, you take your shoes off, you put your feet in the grass and let the tree ground you, let the grass ground you. But you know, when you're walking barefoot in that grass, all of a sudden you notice, wow, you're feeling a lot more grounded, a lot better, a lot more connected to the earth. The rubber soles keep us so that that electrical connection is not connecting with the earth. So it's really important to take your shoes off and put your feet on the earth. Yeah. I will go up to a corner of a bench and use the corner of the bench to work pressure points on my foot. Or there's a beautiful rock on the beach. I'll go up to the rock and I rub my feet on the rock to help me. The sand works on your feet when you take the shoes off and you work and you walk on the nice smooth pebbles and rocks in the river or the creeks. All of those rocks and the sand and dirt all do self-help reflexology for you.
Yeah.
But walking definitely makes a difference. And then you're moving the systems of your body. You're moving all the fluids in there also, but you're also approaching the pressure points on your feet. And walking barefoot in the sand at the ocean is really special because then we have the salt water that cleanses negative ions on top of it. So Mother Nature's there to help us and do reflexology for us too. So those are very helpful things to help with stress.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Looking at my list. And so would you have a general wellness routine to do either in the morning or in the evening or both? That wouldn't take time to...
You know, it's a busy life and a busy world. So cutting corners, we love. So the ears actually have the ability to do a full reflexology session. Yeah. So let's say I'm a busy girl and I'm in the shower and getting ready for the day. I massage my earlobes and that's the pressure point for the head. And then you go, this is my neck. And this all represents the spine. So just massaging your ears
just
in the shower.
Edges, in the on the outside, right?
On both sides.
Yeah.
The back part.
Outside, and back. Not inside.
I do both sides.
Yeah.
So you can find charts online where the pressure points are represented on the ears.
And it can be painful, right?
Little tiny tool I work for the ears and little tiny pressure points. Yeah. There's all kinds of little tools you can use. In the shower, a lot of times I will get Epsom salts and I put it in a jar and I put essential oils in it, what I want for the day. And then I shake it up. And then as I'm in the shower, I'll actually take those Epsom salts and scrub my feet from the tips of my toes to my heels and up my calves. Uh-huh. And then I do the other foot and then I'll do my arms and my hands. But you can use a nail brush, really easy. You get the nail brush and you start on the tips of the fingers because it's like starting on the top of your head and massaging all the way to the heel. The heel is your rear end. So you're flushing stuff down. This is more internal and this is more on top, external. So this would be my breasts, the rib cage. So this is what I would do. I have this little, it's got little spikes on it. It's a little rubbery thing. So I don't have a lot of time. So I want to clear, I want to cover a big area. So I'll just vigorously start on this part. Let's say I have a test today and I really want to be smart about it. You just work on all those pressure points for the head. That phrase, keep on your toes. The whole anatomy in your head is represented in your toes. Mm-hmm. So they knew about that. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm watching you. This is the pressure point for the eyes. Mm-hmm. They actually use that. I'm watching you, and it's the pressure point for the eyes. It's so cool. Yeah. So back to this. I always start at the top vigorously, and it's all, I'll hold it like this so it's easy for my hand. Mm-hmm. And I do to the heel, and then I'll go down the forearm, go back up the front part vigorously, vigorously. So let's say my neck was hurting me. My neck is bugging me today. I'd work more on the thumb. Or I would get that wine cork and I would use it like this and really roll it back and forth for the nerves of the neck, the muscles in back of the neck, the muscles in front of the neck, mm-hmm. and the jaw, the lower jaw, all that stress around the jaw. If you have TMJ right here, the hinge is represented on the webbing side in reflexology, right here. So working those pressure points for the lower jaw and the upper jaw, just going up and down on that knuckle, tender, mm-hmm. very tender. I hold it all in my jaw. And then this is the occipital ridge back here where the line is, right here for the joint. So getting the corner, the sharp part of the cork and getting underneath that part.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful. So I keep the wine cork in my car. I keep it in my backpack. I keep it in my purse.
Yeah.
It's flexible. It's a little more forgiving.
Yeah.
So
it's more gentle.
Yeah. And then, so let's say, if I was to put this on a tabletop, I could put my hand on it and then stand up and then really roll back and forth on that tabletop. And this would be rolling back and forth. Uh-huh. Shoulder problem on the side of the shoulder, front of the shoulder, scapula. So for anything and everything, uh-huh. cork.
Cool.
Works really good.
Cool, cool, cool.
And you know, you just pick up a rock, you know, to start massaging with a rock. Even if you do it gently and tickle, it's stimulating the pressure points.
Yeah.
You don't have to be vigorous.
And also last time we talked about using a laser for people who have a laser tool. You can also.
Yes, the laser tool is very effective. My teacher uses one.
Yeah, stimulating the points with the laser. Right?
Yes, and it also different colors of the laser are very effective. So that's something like when I work with people that are really sick, sometimes I'll wear a necklace with every color of the rainbow on it.
Yeah.
So that they can see all of those colors of the rainbow.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, notice my charts are basically like the rainbow too. Mm-hmm. See all the different colors that represent different systems.
Yeah.
And so all those colors are very, very helpful for us to see when we're doing healing modalities.
Uh-huh. Okay. Liver, do we need to say something about the liver specifically or not?
Sure. Everyone asks me, how's my liver?
Yeah, because you know.
Point for the liver is only on the right side because your liver is only on the right side.
Yeah.
It's represented right here. And it's represented here. On both sides, this is more the external part of the liver where the gallbladder sits, and this is more the internal part of the liver. The liver secretes this direction, so that's what I do. I always work the pressure point starting on the outer part of the hand, right in here. A lot of people's liver on the outer part's more stagnant, so I can even right here, like roll this back and forth like this. And it's getting the outer part of my liver and then more internal and then external. But I do it like this. I do the pressure point and I always move it this direction so it flushes.
So when you say this direction.
Genetic problems with their liver. Reflexology helps with genetic problems too. Uh-huh. And then pinching both sides. I'm doing both sides, massaging it towards the thumb.
Which is where it flushes, right?
Yeah, where it flushes. So if someone, for instance, has problems with their liver And it's very toxic. It's very toxic. Yeah. Like one time I was at a farmer's market and a man told me he had pain on the side. Is there a pressure point for that? So when he pointed to the right, I always think liver. So I went to his liver, but he was a glass blower, very toxic work. And he had partied the night before. So I touched the pressure point and I moved it just like that. And he says, oh, I'm nauseated, instantly got nauseated. So it was too much for him. So you have to do it. If people are really toxed out, you got to take the detoxing very slow.
Yeah.
It doesn't always feel good to detox.
Yeah.
So moving that liver this direction helps flush it.
So across the entire hand, right? Yes.
Yeah, it's basically the pressure point stops right here and here, but it's the pressure points are basically a general area. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's liver is exactly shaped the same. Some might be longer, some might be shorter.
Yeah.
You just kind of want to make sure you cover the base.
Yeah.
In that area.
And people, you know, fatty liver is, you know, you hear about that everywhere.
Yeah, the fatty liver, you can actually feel that part on top.
Yeah.
You feel a bunch of little hard bumps. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're fat.
Mm-hmm.
Thin people come to me with a fatty liver.
Okay.
So basically the fatty part is all in front. This is more internal.
Uh-huh.
For the bile ducts. This is more external.
So can you do a liver flush that way? That's a liver flush, what you're doing, right?
Yeah. But like I said, it doesn't always feel good.
Yeah.
Liver.
Uh-huh.
You could get nauseated pretty easily with it.
Okay. So, and how much do you use your intuition in this work? A lot?
I have had a practice for 25 years.
Yeah, not 30. So
I use a lot of common sense with my practice, which sharpens your intuition if you listen to the common sense.
Uh-huh.
And because I have so much experience, I'm fortunate to have a photographic memory of the people I worked on. And when I feel something in someone, all like, oh, the person that had narcolepsy had a crease in their thumb here. The most people don't have a crease there. So there must be a crease in their brainstem. And that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see someone else comes with that crease on their thumb or on their big toes that's up higher from the knuckle, my first question is, are you narcoleptic? And it's always, yes, I am. How did you know? So some of it's just knowing the map, and it sharpens the intuition.
Yeah.
I would definitely say it sharpens the intuition if you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Good. So I think this is enough information for the first discussion. You know, we can see if you want to come back to do more, we can talk about that. But for the first session, I think it's really good. And so I think I lost you. Are you back?
You're back.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe one last question. Is there, based on all your experience, what you've seen and the types of problems that you've seen, do you have one recommendation to stay healthy?
Oh, through reflexology?
Yes, or totally in general. So
one recommendation would to help you stay healthy would be get a nice, strong nail brush. And every time you take a shower, work on those pressure points vigorously because you stimulate them. So the more often that you do reflexology, the better off you are.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the fountain of youth.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Definitely. If people were to work on their hands and feet every day, it would be a different world.
Yeah. And also working on each other is really good, right?
Yes.
That would be
working on horses, family, working on each other, taking the time to do it too.
Yeah.
And I have for 25 years, I work on children for free until they're 20 years old. Then I charge or I'll barter. But the reason why I work on children for free is because two reasons. They are the most precious resource that we have. They are the future of the world. And because they're the future of the world, they will know about reflexology when I work on them young, and they will carry it into their adulthood. Yeah. And they will work on their children. Mm-hmm. I'm at this point now where the children that I worked on in the beginning of my practice are starting to have children now. So I'm going to start working on generations. Mm-hmm. Now third generation.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's very, very sweet. And I would love to see families doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I think we are, I think we are at the end. Anything else you want to add? I think you've added
A real fun thing that I like to share with everyone is that when you're holding hands with someone, mm-hmm. the pressure point for the heart is represented here and here. Uh-huh. So when I'm holding hands with someone, your heart pressure points are connecting and touching. And when you hold hands, it's like you're caressing and hugging someone.
It's like a hug.
We need that more and more. Don't ever stop hugging and holding hands. Yeah. Wash them first. that's important.
Okay, very good. And then, so do you offer something online, that classes or material that people can use if they want to learn a little more about what you've talked about today?
Yes, I have charts online, and I have classes that I teach, self-help with reflexology, and now I'm producing videos, self-help with reflexology, that will be available after January. And I am starting to post self-help videos on my Facebook, Joanne Tennant's Reflexology Tennant Technique, on my blog. Uh-huh. And I just started doing Instagram.
Uh-huh. Good.
And that's good. Under Tennant Technique also.
Okay, so we'll
So workshops, updated workshops, will be on my blog, on my website.
Okay.
Self-help.
Yeah. And you think you could also do some kind of one-on-one via video?
Absolutely.
We just did today a little bit.
Mentoring and talking people through self-help with reflexology is something that is going to be happening also.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that will be all after January when I start.
Yeah.
January 22.
Yeah. Well, Joanne, I'm so glad we were able to do this interview today. Thank you very much for spending time with us.
And you're welcome.
And to our listeners, if you're traveling to Northern California and have a chance to go to Santa Cruz, I definitely recommend you get a session with Joanne. Aptos is just a few miles south of Santa Cruz, and it's a beautiful area by the ocean. You can walk on the beach and get more stimulation there. So this is Brigitte Mouchet with the Solari Wellness Series. Thank you for listening, and take good care of yourself, because it's more fun to be well.